Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center, located in Davis, California. Today, Pastor Matthew will speak on comfort and suffering. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, here's our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
I would like us to consider two scriptures. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You see, in this church, we want to give you the full gospel. We are not interested in speaking about a Jesus whom we can manipulate as an English butler, who can be called upon when we are in a tight spot, that his job is to come and get us out of the tight spot. Or, more crudely put, we use him as a tissue to wipe out all the outflow from various orifices of the body and then throw it away. We don't believe in such nonsense. The most popular theological thinking in the world today is that, at best, call upon God to rescue you from your tight spot. We give you the real thing. Unashamedly, boldly, confidently, we proclaim the gospel and the whole gospel. And so here it is, 2 Corinthians. If you read the entire book, and particularly chapter 6 and chapter 11, you will begin to see a Christian's life: intense troubles, persecutions, beatings, imprisonments, being in the ocean, trouble from false brethren. And yet he says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, dying, yet behold, we live. And see, if you have stupid theology, you will falter and you will fall and you will abandon Christ when he is not coming when you want. It's going to happen. We lost our job, we have a syndrome baby, or we have a disease, and our whole world crashes down. And we prayed hard, we fasted, we went without food, and we flagellated ourselves. But what? Nothing is working. And either we would say, praise be to God, or we would say, curse God, and die. So it's important to be carefully examining the foundation that we believe in the gospel. Jesus Christ called us and said, deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow me. Follow me to death. And he came after his resurrection, and he spoke to certain disciples. And then he spoke to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Three times he asked. And then he said, yeah, you love me all right. And one day you are going to prove that you do love me by your death. Jesus Christ calls us to take up the cross and follow him. He will not be used as a butler or as a tissue. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of the church and he is the Lord of the universe. He is not your servant. We are his servant. And he ordains all things for his people. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire. But he leads them all into the celestial city, into the very presence of God himself. So here it is, 2 Corinthians, which speaks about all kinds of troubles that he experienced. But the first chapter gives us a preview of what is coming. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. Well, that's nice. But that's not what the Greek text says. Sometimes the writers of the New Testament using the Septuagint. But I want you to know, when he uses the Septuagint, he is using under divine guidance, so that the word he used from the text is what God wanted him to use. But the Greek text tells us, Father of what? Mercies. Oh, I like that. We need mercy after mercy after mercy. Father of inexhaustible mercies. Father of mercies. And God of all comfort. Well, we need comfort. Comfort means making somebody strong. You don't need comfort. You are not weak. But you need comfort if you are what? Weak. And the truth is, we are weak. We are dependent beings. We are weak because we are breathing people. We have to eat. We have to breathe to exist. And the arrogance of man is that he pretends he is God. It is delusion, mere delusion, to think that he is God. And so God understands that we are weak, but he is the Father of all comfort. Well, that's nice. That you come to him in your weakness, in your debility, in your confusion, whatever it is, you come to him. We are introduced to a heavenly Father who is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And not only that, it says what? Who comforts us in all our troubles. Not in some of our troubles. Oh, what a wonderful statement is that. In all our troubles. And the truth is, we are in trouble. Always we are in trouble. But he's there to comfort you. To give you wisdom. To give you understanding. To give you strength. To give you counsel. To steady you, to guide you, to provide for you. And though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are not going alone. I will fear no evil because you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they what? Comfort me. And so we like it, we want it. We are weak, he is strong. We are stupid, but he's wise. Amazing how many times he helped us. The invisible hand of God guiding you, helping you. God of all comfort. Who comforts us, present tense. And let me ask you, are you without comfort? I introduce you to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is ready to comfort you. Who is ready to speak to you words of comfort. Fear not, I am with you. Peace, be still. Cheer up, I have overcome the world. Because I live, you will live also. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Why are we comforted? So that we can comfort those in the household of God. Those in what? Any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And we will talk about it in the next verse. This comfort that God gives to you is not a little comfort, a little drop of it. But it is a comfort that fills you. My cup what? Overflows. It fills you. And then it what? Overflows into other people who are in any comfort. And through you, they are also comforted. But the source of it all is the Father of all comfort. And if we live with fear and misery and confusion, we need to blame ourselves. And the reason is, we have not. We have not because what? We asked not. We become arrogant and self-sufficient and independent. And so we are without comfort. We try to pull ourselves up with our own psychology, our own self-will, our own little education. It's amazing how many ways we try to take care of our problem, and never occurs to us. The Father of all comfort, the Father of mercies, there for you, to help you. But now, let's come to the full gospel, verse 5. And this is a strange verse. It's very strange for people who use Jesus Christ as a butler. People who think that to believe in Jesus Christ ensures us from what? Every trouble. I raised my hand, I came forward, or I was baptized. Jesus Christ immunizes us from troubles. And this is what the evangelists and the preachers are preaching in this country and throughout the world. And the type of thing they preach is this nonsense. Shallow, stupid, superficial, partial gospel. What is it? Receive Jesus, then everything will be nice. Through Jesus, you escape everything. That's stupid. But here then, brought into juxtaposition, two concepts, which we would not bring together. But the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings together two ideas in verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ, what? Flow over into us. And you can talk all you want about immunity, about escapism. And there is a theology that says rapture-centered, rapture from what? Trouble. And the rapture idea is that God will keep us from all troubles. But here we are told something, brothers and sisters, if you want to really understand what the scripture is teaching. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, the very fact that we are Christians, the very fact that we believe in Jesus Christ, the very fact that we believe in the Bible, the very fact that we oppose the ideas of the world, you are persecuted. Yes, we will never suffer as Jesus Christ suffered in terms of the wrath of God, which he alone suffered. On the cross he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is unique to him. But in the other sense, everything except that flow into us. Flow into us. Flow, it's a river. It's a great effusion. And so this whole idea of sufferings for Jesus' sake is part of Christian theology. It's not suffering, it says sufferings. It's not trickling down, it is what? Flow into us. And you can go this way and that way. But it will flow into you when you least expect. And you look at the life of Job. And you look at the life of St. Paul. In this, it's not just one trouble. Trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. And you think you just taken care of one. And there is coming another. And another. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into us. That tells us normal Christian life includes pain, affliction, persecution, suffering. But that's not all. It says what? So also through Christ, our comfort overflows. If that's all we have, sufferings, then we are in deep trouble. We are hopeless. No. But let me tell you, it is not in the proportion of suffering, but in greater proportion, the flow of comfort is not in the same proportion as the flow of what? Suffering. The flow of comfort is in greater proportion. Now it says, so also what? Through Christ, our comfort overflows. Now let's understand one thing. It is through Christ. There is no comfort apart from Christ. Comfort is salvation, is strength, is grace. And that comes from God the Father through Christ's cross. It flows out. And we read about Jordan River. As the people of Israel were going, they came to Jordan. And they came at a certain time when Jordan, what? Overflowed. See, up north is Mount Hermon, and it's springtime, and the snow melts. And Jordan is filled with water, and it overflows. Or you read the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, where from the temple, that is from God, there flows water. And they measured 1,000 what? Cubits, yeah, which is 18 inch or something. They measured 1,000 cubits, and we are told the water is what? Up to your ankle. And then from there, another 1,000 cubits they measured, and the water is up to the knee. Then they measured another 1,000 cubits, and it comes to your waist. And then they measured another 1,000 cubits. And what happened? No man can cross it. That gives you a picture of the flow of comfort, the flow of water of life. That all people who are thirsty can drink it. This flow, it's mighty effusion from the Father through the Son, is always of greater measure than the suffering of Christ flowing into you. Limitless comfort. Notice the text says, so also the comfort through Christ, what? Flows into us. So also through Christ, our comfort overflows. Now imagine. Sufferings of Christ flowed into us. And then he says, so also through Christ, our comfort what? Now I said, this means it filled us. What filled us? Comfort of God. Mercy of God. Grace of God. Strength of God. Power of God. Hope of God. At the time of your pain, for Jesus' sake, there from the throne of God comes this mighty effusion. And it flows into you, into your mind, into your will, into your emotion, into your heart. And it fills every cranny and every nook, every corner, fills you. And not only that, now it overflows from you to what? To other people. That is the idea he expressed previously. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Mercies, comfort. No wonder St. Paul said, sorrowful, yet what? Always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Dying, that's reality. That's part of reality. Behold, we live. Christian people are not going around and complaining and murmuring and confused. And if you are confused, you have wrong theology. Woe unto that preacher who did not preach the whole gospel. He sold you a bill of goods that is corrupt. Our God is a God of comforts and mercies. Yes, there is suffering, but also look at that inexhaustible provision of comfort coming to you. Remember, Jesus Christ said, if anybody thirsts, remember that in John chapter 7, on the last day of the great feast, while the priests were pouring water from the pool of Siloam in celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, memorializing God's provision of life in the wilderness, with trumpet sound and clashes of cymbals, they poured water on the altar. And when it all died out, I told you, Jesus, the young man, stood up and with a loud voice, and he cried out, that water is me. If anybody thirsts, come to me and drink. And out of your innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Oh, you are satisfied. You are completely satisfied. You are filled, but it overflows. Oh, what a wonderful blessing it is to be with people of God. Isn't that true? Every child of God is a soul, is a channel of this abounding comfort. Yes, there is pain, there is affliction, there is persecution, there is sickness, there is blood pressure that's out of control. There's fainting. You lose your job. And you stay so many days at the waiting room of the hospital. One operation after another operation, and then another operation. But I hope you will look up and see this outflow from the cross of comfort for you. You may look at this person, that person, or other person. But even if they fail, the comfort is there. So it's great to look at that. So also, through Christ, our comfort overflows. So you understand two ideas. One is what? Sufferings. What is the other? Comfort. Which is in greater proportion? Comfort. Which is in lesser proportion? Sufferings. That's wonderful. Everything is all right. Comfort is greater than what? Suffering. I hope you understand that. Let's turn to the next verse, which is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And these two ideas are brought together again by St. Paul. And here he says, I want to know Christ. Oh, that's a wonderful desire. It's not what I want to get this, I want to get that, I want to have this, I want to have that. No, he goes straight. He says, I want to know God. I want to know Christ. That's pure, holy desire. What's your goal? What's your desire? What's your ambition? If this is not your ambition, you are in trouble. I want to know Christ experimentally, not mere intellectual, theoretical. And people think they come out of a seminary with a degree in what? Divinity. Man pretends what? He knows Christ. That's not what he's talking about. He went to seminary and he persecuted Christ. He became a murderer of those who loved Jesus Christ. He became a blasphemer. That's what seminary can do for you. So don't think seminary can teach you and give you knowledge of Christ. I want to know Christ. Christ as my friend. Christ as my God. Christ as my Savior. Christ as my shepherd. Christ as my physician. Christ as my teacher. Abraham is called what? The friend of God. Friend of God. That's the knowledge he's talking about. I want to know Christ. What else? And the power of his resurrection. And we call that salvation. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to know that. It's wonderful. Because if I have that, then I live my life in his power. And I can deal with sufferings and persecution and being in the ocean and being beaten 5 times, 40 lashes minus one. I can deal with persecution by false brothers. I can deal with hunger and thirst and nakedness. I can deal with it all. Then I have power. Power of what? His resurrection. See, this is greater than the creation. Creation is also an exhibition of God's power. And this is greater than the Exodus. See, before it was Exodus, which illustrated divine power. But now it is replaced by what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, may we also desire that. I want to know Christ and what? The power that raised Jesus from the dead. But, you see, he goes further. He's a realist. He's not a false evangelist. And he says something else. And the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. He wants to know suffering as part of the deal. You cannot escape it. He didn't say, I want to know Christ, power of his resurrection. But he adds this idea of suffering. He's brought that along with power that raised Jesus from the dead. Don't try to escape suffering. It's going to come to you. It's going to come to me. It is the sufferings of Christ. It is the sharing of Christ's sufferings. It is going to come to us. It's a given. Blessed are you when you are persecuted, and when they falsely accuse you, rejoice and be glad. You read about Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. He confronts the king with the gospel, and he killed him. That is suffering of Christ. But you see, how do we deal with the suffering of Christ? So also through Christ, our comfort, what? Overflows. And in this text, I want to know Christ. And what? The power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Sufferings. We can handle it. We can handle it. And this is what this is all about. We are eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ. It is through the cross, this mighty effusion of comforts. And I invite you, everyone who is weary, who is suffering, who is confused, who is weak, come and drink and eat comfort. And you will be comforted. You will be strengthened. You will be made strong. Because the flow of comfort is in greater measure than the flow of suffering by divine plan. Let's understand. Some people think the flow is trickle, but suffering is torrential. No, it's the other way. It's the other way.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory Audio of this message entitled Comfort and Suffering. Come back soon for more transforming Bible teaching from Pastor P.G. Matthew.